So now I understand what the pink teddy bear was about.
What the f*** is going on down there?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to WTF at TFW episode 252. My name is Vangelis, I'm your host, and this is our very first episode in which your host is a post-graduate. I had my ceremony recently. I graduated from my little film school jaunt, magna cum laude, which I think is the best one. Apparently it's second best, but summa does not sound cool at all. Magna sounds like ultra magnus. So it's therefore clearly better. Am I not correct, Aaron?
Sure. Except for now you're going to be a post-grad and be talking about your doctoral thesis and crap and just keep it off the podcast.
Well, more so, now I can be that dick on your creative project who defers to, well, you know, I went to film school and...
And then you get punched in the throat.
Oh, man. Jacob dealt with a bunch of those types when he made his short film a couple years ago. That's part of what drove me to want to go to film school, so that I could be the guy to say, yeah, well, I went to film school too, and you're kind of full of crap, so shut up.
Yeah.
So I had a good ceremony on Tuesday a couple days ago.
Well, congratulations to you. I mean this honestly and earnestly.
Thank you.
Not like all those other times I've said good job.
The insult is still on the way, though. I was ready for it. Okay. Well, non-Newtonian fluid. Also joining us today is Omegas Prime.
Yep. I feel inferior now.
this is a long pause. Like, one of those days, I suppose.
Oh, it's been one of those days. Tomorrow there's a mailman that's going to be killed.
Lovely. Just for sport or for food or
for not bothering to carry his lazy ass up out of his truck and bring me a box.
So for justice, then for food.
Right.
Excellent. Well, it's a good stir fry, you know, and the blue of the uniform gives it a very unique color. So I
all the running boxes just, you know, they're very tone.
Yeah. And I mean, do your mailmen still wear blue? Like, is that the thing?
Last I checked.
Like blue with the little hat and the shorts and the knee-high socks?
I don't remember the shorts.
Okay, because the shorts are part of what make the whole process so arousing as well, so, you know.
Not really after that.
Oh.
I just want my box and a good lunch.
What's the point of cannibalism if it's not for... So, we're here to talk to you today about Transformers and cannibalism. And, I don't know. What are your guys' opinions on mailmen? Ignoring the one you're dealing with right now.
I don't know. I had my issue with the UPS guy or whoever just chucking the big package on my porch.
But not just the big package. You have to state what it was because that's what makes the quote so good.
The crock pot. Throwing the crock pot.
The UPS guy who threw a crock pot at your door.
Yeah.
Which I guess is still more effort than, you know, the fellow who didn't carry the box up to where Omegas' front door is.
Well, granted, I do live in front of a landmine field.
Well, here's my question. What's
usually part of the fun?
What if he went halfway and then threw the box at your door?
Like, the mines have a remote.
It's not a crock pot.
I'm prepared.
I had forgotten about it until you just brought it up, but now I'm thinking about the crock pot thing again, and it's still the funniest thing I've heard in regards to UPS in a long time. Anyway, we should talk about Transformers. I've got a story here of, I guess, a new public statistic, or at least a new, more widely known now public statistic about 80s Transformers. Somebody from lmb3.net, and I don't know what that is. Oh, Lewis M. Brooks III's Online Asylum. Okay, that actually makes a lot more sense. Anyway, this gentleman got a hold of a Transformers the Movie 1986 Ziploc promotion salesman's sample kit, which most of us as children or teenagers back then probably never saw. So it was a backpack that had promo sheets, copies of coupons to be used, a thermos, a power dasher, iron-ons, among other items, some sheets containing revealing information about how well the brand was doing. Quote, "The third sheet in the packet actually has some really interesting information on it, or at least interesting to me. It talks about the Transformers brand expecting to make $300 million in 1986. It also states that the Transformers made $100 million in 1984, the most for any first-year series ever at the time. I'm sure that record has probably been broken, but I'd love to know how that stacks up all time. It says there would be $20 million spent on advertising and an additional $3 million spent promoting the movie. Maybe he's thinking about it by today's standards, but $3 million to promote a movie doesn't seem like a lot, even in 1986. So that's kind of a little, you know, fandom empowering to know that the thing that we're all into commonly for the purposes of this podcast was back in 1984, at the time, the most profitable one-year series ever. I never knew that, and that's kind of interesting. So, I don't know much about inflation, which I'm sure is a completely other end of this discussion, but I feel kind of emboldened that my franchise of choice did so well in 1984 when it started. Aaron, how are you feeling about this small but interesting revelation of info?
Pretty interesting. I'm trying to look up inflation calculator right now. I think it's really neat. I like the when you actually go to the lmb3.net page for it, where it talks about this is actually a promo, you know, not so much a promo thing for Transformers, but Ziploc, because they had a crossover with your free iron-on that you'd get inside of your Ziploc package. So it was like, you know, let's transform the category and make Ziploc number one. So it's kind of loopy that's okay. That's the direction that this actually was ending. All right. but I come on.
Yeah, I'm actually looking. I'm scrolling down now and seeing the Ziploc advertisement, which is kind of hilarious to look like all these Floro Dairy models just chilling out behind a box of Ziplocs.
Okay, so what was it? The number that they gave?
$100 million is what Transformers made in 84.
That would be double. $1 worth of 1986 dollars is now worth about $2.13.
Wow, so were expecting...
roughly double.
They were expecting over half a billion dollars
in Transformers.
Which is
right on, which is right about what the previous year's sales have been, like crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm thinking of that bar graph we saw.
That bar graph. So yeah, we're hitting approximately the same levels of across the board sales as they were looking for back in the day, which is craziness because I remember vaguely, but remember how some of that stuff went back in the day. So our little brain's doing okay.
Oh, this little guy is about to turn 30.
Yeah.
Omegas, how about you? Do you feel emboldened by the monetary value of your chosen franchise almost 30 years ago?
I'm still trying to figure out who would try to sell Transformers to people with a power dasher.
I think it's kind of funny that the power dashers were the pack in, because I got this feeling, and this is all conjecture and assumption, but I've always had this feeling that the power dashers were the thing that filled up a warehouse for far longer than they were supposed to back in those days.
Yeah, because they were a giveaway with just about everything.
Yeah, like I got, like, you know, we talk about shelf warmers now, and we talk about things like Big Bad Toy Store's Piranacon, specifically that one. I feel like maybe the power dashers were like a long lost ancestor to that, of just this thing that
Battle Unicorn.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Battle like, Unicorn.
In some warehouse.
Movie camshaft. Just glue it to a box and, you know, we'll just got to get rid of it now.
Yeah.
Well, no, the Battle Unicorn, especially because there was a special carton made for Big Bad that was just those.
They were like a buck at one point.
Yeah.
I wish I bought more of them when they were a buck.
Well, no, because the Power Dashers were the mail away, weren't they?
Well, that's why I'm saying warehouse.
Oh, yeah, they were. Yeah.
Like that, and that's like, I think that the closest
that was like the remainder of your mail away points was like, oh crap, I'll get give me like six power dashers.
Yeah, like, and that's why I'm saying like the big bad toy store Battle Unicorn or Piranacon would be, I think, a closer analog. Like, to try to draw an analog to a mail away through today's technology, I'm looking at an online store with an exclusive. So yeah, it's kind of is corroborating my little theory I've always had that the Power Dashers were like one of the original items they just couldn't get rid of. Especially promoting the 86 movie with Power Dashers.
Yeah.
Imagine if they were in the 86 movie. That would have changed the game.
No, it wouldn't.
Imagine how well it would have done if they were, you know, using, like, you know, the triple changers or, you know, the combiners or something.
Just throw a Springer in the... Well, also, the Power Dashers were... I haven't messed with one in a while, but they're small, right?
Yeah, they're very small.
Yeah. But I'm also now really entertained by the idea that somewhere out there, some collector has a bunch of Ziploc bags with Springer's face on them. I'm curious if those Ziploc boxes, specifically, if those ever actually made it to market. Because I'm assuming that some oddities collectors out there must have them, if they do exist. But if this is new information somehow, this could be changing the face of collecting weird stuff that Daniel has.
Living with a oddities collector, I don't think she has it.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. I want to know now, like, did these Ziploc Transformers branded boxes commonly exist? Like, there's one of the sheets in here is a flat sample of the packaging with the free Power Dasher thing on the bottom.
Hold on, I'm deploying the Alfie signal.
Oh boy.
I really want to know now, because this feels like something, you know, for people who feel like they got everything, this could be like a new hunt. I'm saying all this with one of those people probably sitting there going like, hey, guess what, I have like 15 of them. Also, speaking of Daniel, I'm scrolling down, there's a giant iron-on of Rodimus Prime right here. From the salesman kit. I wonder if that's the only place you could get it.
Oh my god.
No, but he saw this and started a high-pitched sound.
I mean, the Rodimus thing's just a cherry on top. This is the kind of doofy, goofball stuff that Daniel would go for. In my small experiences with the Proto Man, you know, he's free to come in here and correct me. Oh, wow. One of these things actually says more top spin, more displays, more joint selling force impetus. Sorry, imputus. Impetus is spelled with an E, isn't it?
I don't know.
This is spelled I-M-P-U-T-U-S.
I don't know. It's all something that's obviously that was typed up. You know,
let's continue 86. To transform the category and make Ziploc number one!
Didn't I say that? I said that already.
I know, but I didn't know it was typed in all caps.
Hot fuel heat, fuel fire explosive.
It was typed in all caps on a typewriter.
Yeah.
This one's the guy who owns Ziploc was there on his typewriter typing this personally, just beat a sweat forming on his brow as he hammered in the characters. I really want Ziploc to get back in bed with Transformers now. That would be a throwback to the thrilling 30th.
Yeah.
More Ziplocs.
And have it announced as we're bringing it back. You guys may not remember, but...
Well, you know what? Ziplocs were actually probably one of the best ways to store your Transformers in 84 because they had all those bits to lose.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're still a good way to store all your Transformers.
Yeah, where's the cross sell? I mean, like 30 years down, I'm sure we all know.
How helpful would it be if you could have all your little parts and like, okay, here's all my Autobot parts. I wonder, oh, it has a big Autobot logo on it. Perfect.
Exactly. There's also a great thing here on page two. yeah, you're right. They do put themselves first. The number one best-selling sandwich bag, Ziploc, is teaming up with the number one best-selling toy in the universe, Transformers. Kids can't get enough. Autobots, Dinobots, Insecticons, Triple Changers, Constructicons, Jump Starters, and more.
They're aware of these things, and they went with the Power Dasher.
I like how the Jump Starters got top billing over the Decepticons.
So the Power Dasher actually looks like it was look for a free Transformers toy offer on box, a $3 value, not sold in any store. So that was the Power Dasher thing. Yeah, they had a boatload of them because they're showing baggies and like you scroll way down.
Yeah.
They're showing baggies with a coupon image that doesn't look like it has any Transformers logos on it, just that there was an iron-on in the box, and then it was probably like collect three things and get no free Transformers Power Dasher. Yeah, that might have just been proof of purchase, and away it went.
Yeah. They should have just thrown them in the box, in my opinion. I mean, why not?
Oh, include three proofs of purchase from Ziploc brand sandwich bags. Mail certificate completely filled out.
Buy 150 Ziploc bags. Get a Power Dasher.
Request per household, group, or organization. Only one request per envelope. The certificate may not be reproduced, traded, or sold, and must accompany request. Offer rights may not be transferred or assigned, so I can't say that you get mine.
Offer oh, no.
Only in the 50 US, but void or prohibited, tax or restricted. Please allow 8 weeks for mailing.
You should go to the Q&A.
Sorry, tiny print.
The Q&A, question number 8. Are the Transformers really as popular as we make them out to be?
Yeah.
Answer, hold yes. anyway.
Not sold in any store. It's funny that they can do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, offer expire. Sorry, guys, we're too late. Offer expires September 30th, 1987.
Oh,
but I want a Power Dasher.
I'll bet there's still Power Dashers if you really want one.
Yeah, I've seen them.
I bet
them.
There's still Power Dashers in a factory if you really want
right.
one.
Right.
Some warehouse that's just been left in the lull for nearly three decades, just sitting there on boxes of them to this day. I'm not going to be surprised. Anyway, we are talking about Ziploc bag cross-sell promos way longer than I thought we would. However, this is all, I think, kind of interesting stuff. And if you haven't checked out the blog post, you really should, because it has scans of everything. And some of it's kind of funny to read, you know, 30 years later, knowing where things went. We should move on to new pick picks, though, because I'm sure someone out there is like, I thought y'all were going to talk about toys. So hopefully one of us picks a picture of a toy. I suspect one of us will pick a picture of a toy. Aaron, how would you like to go first?
Sure. I will go with the Sandstorm.
Yes, out of nowhere, actually, we got this, like, what, 2-3 day long reveal.
Yeah, because the first was just we only saw the alt and car mode with suspicions that the car mode may not have been completely squished together the way that it should have been. Mm-hmm. And then finally, a day later, we saw the helicopter mode and
the VTOL mode.
Yeah, hell, yeah. Same difference. This coming from an airplane guy. Vertical takeoff and landing, that's what a helicopter does.
No, a helicopter spins in place and then flies away. What?
Okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. And I'm sitting here holding my Springer going, wow, that's more than just a little tiny bits of change. That's not more than cosmetic. It's the word that my brain was slowly staggering towards.
Can I offer you a really good, helpful image to compare things?
Okay.
I have to open up my photo bucket, but it's going to be worth it.
Okay.
Apparently I can't open my photo bucket. This is poor timing. Poor timing for photo bucket.
Listeners, tell us if it was worth it. But
there you go.
Looking at the massive changes. Is this the side-by-sides that... Yeah.
This is the looking easiest reference picture I've found.
At the side-by-sides, and then I apparently clicked something and got a food picture.
Thanks.
Yeah. Just letting everybody know what's in your photo bucket.
Hey, listen. Stop hacking my photo bucket, all right?
Yeah, that happens.
Yep.
Along with Facebook, you internet bullies. But yeah, seeing the differences... it's impressive. I like more and more the let's design this toy to be two things out of the gate, not, okay, crap, what else can we turn this into? Kind of makes a few of the things that look odd with Springer, like his weird back flap, make more sense because now that's like the hinge attachment point for the big wheels for like the dune buggy part and for the VTOLs, whereas for his helicopter it's just his sword that plugs in place on top. So looks good, and it's a case where while I technically already have that toy, I have nothing close to that toy, even though I already have it, kind of. So, yeah.
Well, you can't,
good job at the second sale.
You can't figure out, you can't sit there futzing with yours to make it look like the VTOL because those pieces aren't on yours.
Right. Well, that, I mean, that was the whole thing when we saw Metroplex. Saw the bottom, saw him on the bottom of the box. We're like, how do you get one from the other? That's crazy. And everybody was trying to come up with weird ways that it might work. And now it just turns out that it's almost a whole new toy. It's, it shares the same skeleton.
Yeah, this is Viacom tier reshelling in a good way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's even if you look at the legs, how he has completely different lower legs.
Yeah.
As Sandstorm, that, you know, because there's no need to have a wheel in there, so he's got different lower legs that'll attach to the pegs and everything, and it's like, wow, okay, that's different, and you look at, okay, well...
The lower legs are also the connection point for the now giant rear wheels, right?
Yeah, that would be where they go.
Yeah, so that, I think that's kind of cool that the new engineering is in both places, so there's ideally a solid locking point there.
Yeah,
you can't tell from these pictures, and given how the tolerances on the triple changes have been across the board, perhaps it will be an issue, but...
Yeah, with more fiddling with Blitzwing, it's not gotten any better, and more fiddling with Springer, it's not gotten any better either. The one or two couples, it's like, meh.
I've seen it, like, this is slightly tangential, but now I've seen enough opinions from enough people in every direction that I think it's just a case of, it's like what we were talking about way back when Masterpiece Rodimus came out. The factories making the toys have a small margin of error that unfortunately caused this. I think it's a small margin of error, but it's in the right places to cause this wide array of feedback.
Yeah.
And get future floor polish. There you go. It'll solve a lot of problems. And apparently with Blitzwing, get an Emery board. I still need to get one. I don't know where to get an Emery board.
But I'm very impressed.
Yeah, I think it looks great, and it has led to a lot of speculation, hopefully tempered speculation, as to what a possible reuse of Blitzwing will be. I caught some scuttlebutt, because I didn't follow up to see if this is actually what was said, but I heard that Joe Kide has been talking a little bit about this, because he unfortunately no longer works at Hasbro, which is kind of a terrible thing to hear when this toy comes out and it's getting, like, both these toys come out and they're getting quite a heavy reaction, and the whatever we say, the guy who designed them is actually not a Hasbro anymore.
Yeah.
But what I understand in some stuff I was reading is that he designed the three of them, so I'm not sure if anything he did was actually on the board for Blitzwing or if he's just staying quiet about it till something comes out. I think that expecting a reshell on this level of Sandstorm for Blitzwing, it's an easy thing to expect seeing this, but I would say don't expect it.
Yeah.
Because perhaps lots of that kind of budget all went into Sandstorm. Who knows?
So
I don't think they're exactly going to get broadside out of him.
No, they're not. Because the other thing about Blitzwing, there's no other... They've done all of the Decepticon triple changers, technically. And the other two... don't really just... you can't stuff them into Blitzwing. It's just a real happy coincidence that Springer and Sandstorm are so similar. Going back to, like, G1, that this actually can work. And for a lot of people, this actually doesn't work. I saw a lot of folks who just... They're very set in their ways, and to them, Sandstorm is a very specific-looking dude. And, you know, I didn't know Sandstorm had so many devoted fans, but I'm glad for you guys, I guess. And sad for you.
Update on a previous story. Alfie had not seen these before. She knew that there were iron-ons that came from something, but she hadn't seen that it was Ziploc.
And ooh.
those look like they're the same iron-ons that were in everything.
I guess the thing
if they actually were, who knows? But
I guess the thing then that interests me the most are the actual packaging for the Ziploc bags with Springer's face on them.
Yeah.
That's the thing that I want to know if someone has. Omegas, what are your thoughts on Sandstorm here?
So far he's looking pretty good. And I'm interested to see some in-hand pictures where he might be transformed a little bit better. Because part of me can't see Sandstorm without some kind of roof over his head.
I'm wondering if that's going to be possible. Because I had the same reaction, because I'm so used to his head being stuck in a thing.
Yeah.
It's like Motor Master.
Hmm. It's really hard to tell. It looks like there might be a hinge. Yeah, someone get this. Other than that, I remember, see if I can remember the last time I thought this. It was like Energon Starscream, where my brain erroneously called these things 100% retools. There is no part that's the same. And it's shocking to see that level of reuse on a toy. Because you could call it, it's not a remold. Well, I think the front tires are the same, and that's about it.
I did some scrutiny, because I don't know the construction of Springer yet, because I haven't really researched him. I believe the top center part of the hood that's connected to the windshields is the same on their car modes.
Okay, I see that.
And I spotted a couple pieces that are the same, but this is like Viacon versus Jet Viacon, where it's like there are shared parts, but you actually have to look for them.
Right.
Like you gotta really dig deep to find the parts that are shared, because so many of them have been replaced, or just through the replacement of a few parts, I feel there's even an optical illusion that makes some of the old parts look new.
Okay, so it's gonna be the stuff that comes down along the side of his windows, that is a piece hanging off the top.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the back of his hands, he still has the windows. So the windows cab front grill piece are going to be the same. The chest piece looks like it's just accessories that are potentially glued on. Same with the rest of the brush guard on the front of the fenders.
I don't know, because the Springer has twin headlights on each side.
Twin headlights, but those headlights just plug in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Because I saw a picture of somebody's that had one of those where it wasn't glued in. So he's got two headlights and he's missing two on the other side.
I also want to make it clear, like, the fact that I am so interested in dissecting down to the component level what's shared, this is only a compliment to how Sandstorm was done. Similarly to how it was only a compliment when I was disassembling a Jet Viacon to put the chest sticker in, and I was doing the same thing with a Car Viacon just so I'd see what looks the same.
Yeah, but so it looks like then everything from the odd flap back, it looks like all the rest of that stuff stacks on there, because it's a similar looking connection point that all that other stuff flips at the vehicle top stuff. So the tail fins are the armor pieces on the window.
This might be
his back. Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's probably 60% commonality.
Well, this
probably
is, this
actually
is
a little bit more.
A very close analogy to Energon Starscream. That's kind of how I felt about him back in the day too, where when I knew less about how toys worked back then, so I thought I was sitting there going like, why did they just remake from the ground up a toy I already have? Because I didn't understand how stuff worked. In this case, you know, there's bits.
Well, I think what's interesting about this is now that we've seen some behind the scenes at Hasbro for once, we actually know a little bit more about how these things are made, and it feels like when they're at that CAD stage where it's just a rudimentary design and this is how the parts, you know, bend and shape in order to get the alt modes, you can actually see from that point where these two diverge and they put these parts on this part on this, and whatever they share to save tooling costs, they share.
Yeah. And this is also, this reminds me of another comparison I saw. This is, I think, yet another evolution in what began with Sideswipe and Sunstreaker, what grew in Trax and Wheeljack, and what we have now in Springer and Sandstorm. Like, clearly these guys were designed pretty much simultaneously. And that's kind of awesome to see something like this. So yeah, I didn't have Sandstorm pre-ordered, then these pictures came out and I just kind of quietly went and pre-ordered them. Because I don't want to have to hunt in stores for these guys. Especially in Toronto. If I'm proven wrong, then I'll eat the extra $5 or whatever that I paid for the pre-order. I'll have one less ramen. Anyway, Sandstorm will hopefully be out in, I think that it was July that he was solicited for. So maybe we'll see in hand as soon as next month. Omegas Prime, what is your new picture pick?
Let's go with this abominous gift set.
This is really weird.
Yes, it is.
It is weird, but also earlier today I made a little bet in my head that Aaron was going to pick Sandstorm and that you were going to pick Abominus, like specifically that you guys were going to each pick those things, and I'm getting kind of freaked out. But
Abominus was open and was the second tab that I had, so had things opened the other way, I may have been talking about Abominus.
But literally, because I had a feeling that for some reason, if I picked Aaron first, we'd talk about Sandstorm first, and if I picked Omegas first, we'd talk about Abominus first. Like
You'd actually be wrong. I had Sandstorm up first. Oh,
okay, so I stacked it, I guess. Damn! Okay. I'm only half Nostradamus. Anyway.
I was actually kind of hoping for a little bit more here. The deco change that we were hinted at from the original sheet has amounted to there's a few clear parts.
The description we got actually tempered my expectations once I saw the retail ones, because I was like, what else could you do? They already look like the originals.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not surprised about the clear plastic. It seems like an easy thing to...
It's an easy thing, but I can see the clear plastic in the places I really don't like to see it.
The thing I'm curious about is if it's anywhere that C-clips together on the legs. I don't have either Rippersnapper or Blight yet, so I don't know how they work. But
now the one that worries me is what did they change? Is
it Windrazor?
The winged one? Yeah, because those wings are doomed.
I was thinking more about the peg areas. The wings, I mean, as long as if it feels tight, you just sand it down.
Yeah, and they're also legend size, so it's only so big.
I've had toys that small bust because I've had Minicons bust because of clear plastic.
Well, maybe you didn't have ham hands.
You just gotta
when they're sitting still for 4 years.
Well, that's the problem. You haven't played with them, and they wanted your attention.
Okay.
You hate
okay,
your
so
toys?
Either they
do you
break
hate
because
your toys,
I
play, sir?
They break because I play with them, and they break because I don't play with them. When do
exactly.
I win, sir?
You don't.
You gotta watch Animal Farm, and you'll see how unjust the system... I just watched clips of it today. It's fresh in my mind. The only thing I'm worried about on this guy, as far as fragility goes, it's actually not the ball joints that worry me. It's just the... what... parts are clear on the two arms, but to me it looks like on Twin Strike clearly the blue plastic are the pegs, and I want to say from what I've seen of Windrazor the green turquoise plastic will be the pegs. It's pegs that worry me more with fragile plastic. If there's anything at all, I think in general, like, clear plastic has gotten much better than the nightmare I had with J7 back in the day, I forgot his car robot's name. Oh, Mach Alert.
Oh yeah,
that guy.
Oh yeah,
those were the guys. That was my last clear plastic nightmare was car robots. It followed me for years because it just happened over the course of several years.
Yeah, friend of mine's heart broke when his RID Prowl's doors fell off.
Yeah, it was J7 that I had the worst luck with, and I know that wasn't actually common. I've talked to lots of people for many years about J7 in particular, and I just got very unlucky 3 times. But the thing that I'm kind of not down with on this guy is actually the
base.
Yeah, I like minimal packaging that hugs the contents. And granted, the box looks like it's really thin, which I also like. So that's kind of getting me back, but it's kind of a bummer looking at the top right of the box specifically.
All of those gift set things have had massive space in them, though. The ultimate gift set that was like the Toys R Us one that never really hardly ever showed up. That was the two deluxes and two legends that had, memory serves, a ton of space. When Walmart had their
I thought the
Legends
Ultimate
5-pack, that one was huge too.
I thought the Ultimate was pretty tight from what I recall. I mean, I busted it.
No,
open
no,
really
no.
Fast.
You're right. That the two deluxe, two legends one wasn't bad. The one that was like the five that was like the
The five Cyberverse commanders.
The five Cyberverse, or no, it was like two commanders, like three
Green Power Glide, right?
Yeah, Green Power Glide one. That
I
one
was
a I huge
didn't like that
box
either. Yeah, that box also did not rub me very well, which is weird because usually I just throw the box out anyway. But
right. You know, it just strikes me weird when you see a box where it looks like you could fit three or four of that toy in the same box.
The main thing that bums me out is the individual packaging for the single pack versions of these guys is so beautiful. Like, the Cyberverse packaging in general for Beast Hunters is so beautiful, and this is like the antithesis of it. So
what gets me the most is how redundant this is. I know it's becoming a little bit more common. You get on all the Voyagers now, but especially in this case, where you've got the robot mode, the combined Abominus next to a big picture of Abominus.
And the Abominus in the package isn't actually transformed right either, because he's transformed to fit. And then I'm like, well, if you're going to transform him to fit, just put the five, take the five bubbles from the Cyberverses and just load them in Power Core Combiner style into like a long box.
Yeah,
and this is all my sensibility. So I like that would rob it of the box art, which I realize is very important for this guy. But
but still, if you're gonna put, it's really cool box art for starters.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to finally see more official imagery of Abominus aside from that one Hong Kong book.
Right.
And I really want to see the instruction sheet because we've, like, you know, everyone who has these guys have just kind of been clutching them into modes that look right and kind of look like the pictures we do have. But I want to see the official pics.
But still, I mean, for anyone who can't track down the Legion class ones, or, you know, I know a few areas around here, a few stores have had trouble getting in some of the waves.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice alternative.
I've heard that a lot of folks have been having trouble finding Hunger already, and I believe we're on the cusp of the other three being out, because Big Bad already got the other three briefly, and I totally, through blind luck, got pre-orders in on them one day and then had them the next day, or in my pile the next day. So this is a good alternative, and I kind of like the choices they made as far as deco changes, at least because it's not like, so, like, I was like, what esoteric weird direction are you going to go that isn't what we already have in the five individual guys? And kind of just clear plasticking them a little bit to show, like, the combination energy. It's like, I can live with that. You know, I think that if this was my only option, I'd be all right with it. I'd still want the other ones because I like the look of the non-clear plastic more. But this feels like a nice alternative, though at the same time it means that this gift set is a real nothing for a lot of folks who already have them individually.
Yeah. I wanted Monstructor.
That would have been a cool homage.
Especially at that size, it just seems natural.
I'd say that doesn't seem like an impossible thing down the road from some venue.
Well, keep in mind, even if this is a Legion class, it's five individual combiner molds. They'll milk them if they can.
Yeah, and
yeah.
I like the two I have, so I'm okay with a little bit of milking. I mean, there's lots of discussion about how this guy's combined mode turned out. I haven't seen it in hand yet, but I'm not opposed to the bestial direction they went in, is what I can say.
He's Abominus. You expect him to be pretty?
Yeah, his name is literally an analog to abomination. Like, I don't know. This is one of those times when people are like, oh, if only he had hands. And I'm kind of like, you know, in this case, it kind of works that his hands are just a bunch of mouths. Like, he is abominous. But that's also...
He's not going to be doing any typing, okay? He's here to break stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the only issue I've had so far with, you know, the torso with Twin Strike on as one arm is it feels like I have to add a whole lot of floor polish to the shoulder ball joints because they're having trouble holding up Twin Strike's weight in some positions. Mm-hmm. But that's a really easy fix, too. You put a couple layers of floor polish on, you dry it, and put them back together. I believe that the old Kleenex trick could work as well. Just stuff some Kleenex into the joint. like, maybe not necessarily this box set, but now that we have this imagery of, you know, the official imagery, even it, notwithstanding all the in-hand reviews of Abominus, I know you probably don't have him in hand, but Omegas, how are you feeling about the way he turned out?
It'd be nice to see him officially transformed.
Hmm.
Oh, well, we do have the official shot, but even that
doesn't... there's the official shot in there.
He has the official shot. I don't know if the arms are supposed to stick out like that, though. It's not on the artwork.
They can be compressed, if you so choose, a little bit. I believe Twin Strike is properly transformed in that picture. In hand, yeah, it's like if you bend the quote-unquote elbow, it's a little bit less weird-looking, in my opinion.
Yeah, I see. He's got a Savage Claw mode thing going on.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool, because it's totally what I thought the Savage Claw mode was going to be as a toy back then. It pulls it off a bit better.
Yeah.
And there's gaps in the sides of the back of the necks for the twin tail to fit in, so it feels like that's really intentional.
Now, overall, I really don't mind it at all. I mean, it's a combiner with five individual molds at Legion size, and it's a beast combiner at that, and it's an homage to Abominus. I'm getting a lot of cool things here, so I'm not really in the mood to complain about it.
Mm. The only complaint I've heard that has clicked with me in a way that I think I might end up sharing an opinion on is the solidity of the combination in the legs. The impression I got from the in-hand reports is that he's really fiddly. Twin Strike grips on dead solid, so I think the arms are going to be fine, but the legs seem to be using a C-clip to clip in. And I could see that with, you know, if plastic tolerances don't play nice, that could become a bit frustrating, depending on if that's the only point of connection. So maybe he'll end up being a bit fiddly. That would be a disappointment, but aesthetically, I think it looks fine. Just weird. Aaron, how do you feel about Abominus?
I think he looks neat. Hopefully I'll try to pick up this gift set because it's all in one fell swoop.
Mm.
I think some of those earlier legends are disappearing to try and kind of junkyard build the combiner myself. I think it looks cool.
If it's any help, the case with Blight, Rippersnapper, and Windrazor also has Twin Strike in it. So
almost everything.
Yeah, the only hunting you're going to have to do is for hunger, because the other four are casemates.
Maybe. I don't know. Again, like so many things, I'm like, oh, I want to get that. And it's like, oh, yeah, still no job.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, at least they're legends.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about the... I know this is really coloring it in a cartoony way, but you know the big discussion when we first saw this Abominus of people going like, "Oh, third party combiners look better." Like, to me, that's a
false argument.
It's holding two very different things next to each other. I feel
it's easy. Yeah, when you've got an unlimited budget, yeah, it's pretty easy to look better.
But the bigger question is, what do you think about this versus the Legends Devastator we got a couple of years ago?
Okay, now you're comparing this to movie aesthetics.
I think that Devastator was hurt by his aesthetics. The way that the core combined together was actually pretty neat. With the, what was it, two or three pieces in there kind of all interlinking together to make a solid chunk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But to try and compare that to this where they're just kind of hanging on is kind of eh.
Yeah, because I mean, to me it's the most direct comparison one can make, and just thinking about it, all aesthetics aside, even though they do affect the engineering, like just thinking about what was fun, I think it's going to come down to how the Abominus mode feels, because the Devastator mode was great, the vehicle modes were great, but the individual robot modes for the most part suffered immensely. And my experience with Hunger and Twin Strike is the complete opposite in that regard. They feel like very solid standalone little toys. I guess we'll see. I'm also kind of just realizing now I didn't go and pick out a new pick for myself because I was so staring at the things we've already talked about.
Oh, jeez.
But I've talked a lot about Feral Rex, and I don't think I need to just stuff in another excuse to talk about how cool that looks. Go and read Griffith's posts because they're really good. He's been talking about a whole lot more stuff. A little bit of gossip in there as well, but the dude is letting us in on a whole lot of how the toy making process works over on their end, and it's really cool. So props again. I'm going to bring up a third party thing, because TFC Toys have revealed the full in color shot of their Superion combiner Uranos, along with the alt mode shots of the two guys who have yet to come out. The gray one and the one who's slingshot. I'm really bad with aerial bot names. So I took a look at this, and there's something about it that works, but something about it that very much communicates to me why I kind of lost interest in the series as it was coming out. And I think it all comes down to that core piece in the middle. Because I think it's interesting the way the legs look, very slim and very sleek. But the thing that's making it hard for me to line this guy up in my head is I feel like, and it's weird to say this because I don't really want to have like five just blocks of color sticking together, but I feel like the color placement on this guy just got way too busy.
The legs are super busy.
And I like Make Toys Giant. But this is just, it's pushing it so hard that I have trouble focusing on the shape of this combined mode. Which makes me curious what it's going to be definitely. Like in person. But I feel bad saying it, but you know, I only have the Fireflight. It's a neat enough figure, but I really don't feel any rush or hype to grab the other four anytime soon. Which is a bummer way to react to technically the big reveal. But yeah, I don't know. We talked a little bit about this. I want to say last week, maybe it was the week before. I forgot if it was us or when I was talking last week. But
I didn't talk no Uranos.
Okay, it must have been last week. I really feel like TFC need. It feels like they were trying way too hard on this one to get it out as fast as they could, but also still get it out. I don't know. This looking at this combined mode, it feels like this thing was being done with the thought of we're the guys who did Hercules is the best way I can put it. Like I feel like they're too aware of their own fame in a way. And it just ended up coming out in a way that, I don't know. Something about it just feels kind of oddly sloppy.
I think you're dead on. When you look at the legs, you've got, you know, one leg has got black, gray, red, yellow, all in lines and colors and patterns. And then the other one is two tones of gray, a bronze in there along with red and yellow. It's very, very busy. That seems to be like where my eye keeps dropping is all of that action in the leg. So to say that the coloration makes it sloppy is not, you know, the stick with a couple of colors. That's where the Constructicons were great because it's all of them were green and purple and black.
To play devil's advocate just a little bit here, when you're doing the Constructicons, it's very easy because it's their vehicle modes showing, and the vehicle modes are supposed to be solid green. Mm-hmm. So when you get Hercules together, he looks very solid. He looks very together. But on Superion, when you're trying to replicate the play pattern of the original, or at least the style and look of it, you're basically looking at their folded up robot modes, especially in the legs.
And
when you're trying to get all that detail in there to make the individual toys look cool and updated, still like the original, it is going to look cluttered when you kind of jam it all together to make the limb portions.
I think what is also thrown me off is that his arms are almost the opposite. They're very cleanly put together. And I know that there's an option to flip the forearms around to get the busier side of the legs. I almost wonder if maybe my opinion would be different if that had been done on this photo. But there's just a feeling of, like, knowing where this is coming from. Because I was thinking about that, you know, that's an inevitability with a Superion. I get this feeling of all these pieces were designed on their own, and it's just now that the final versions are being put together that they are seeing the color scheme almost. Like, it feels like the color placement on all five robots was done independently of one another. And it's, I don't know, like, that's the best way I can describe it. Like, you're going to have five different looking limbs with this kind of combiner, but there's
right.
a very particular loss of cohesion going on that is...
Well, it's, I think maybe if they had dropped a color off of each leg, it might have been better, because, like, the gray on the white primary leg looks like it's just there. It's like the middle of the thigh and the middle of the chest for the robot mode. That looks like that could go away easily enough.
Yeah, it's
and be white, red, white, and then black down towards the foot. And you could probably do something similar with the other leg just to make it a little bit easier all in all, rather than just being kind of crazy everywhere.
Right. You've got a lot of paint apps and color schemes there that are two or three colors layered on top of each other in the same detail. Mm-hmm. And that could have been simplified really easily.
Yeah, and it's just odd. To me to be reacting in such a way to this, because I mean, I saw this, everyone saw this in Gray Prototype back when they started this project,
right?
And it is to me the colors that are throwing me off of really being on board with this thing, you know, ignoring the enormous problems that a lot of people had with the core component, the Silverbolt component. Mm-hmm. It really just makes me look at this guy and it makes me go, like, I'm so not interested in the idea that you guys are doing Predaking, because I mean, that's the next thing they've teased is, you know, bestiality robots and blah blah blah, and I just really hope that TFC think more about innovating than trying to keep on with the combiner train everyone is on. Like, they're the ones who kicked off the combiner train to a degree, like the fully contained combiner train. Mm-hmm. And I think they would be better off kicking off another train, like, as I said before, Duocons. Be the first third party to do highly engineered Duocons. Everyone will look at them. At this point, even though you're the first guys who did combiners, now everyone is doing combiners, and unfortunately it doesn't feel like TFC Toys are the kings of combiners. It feels like they're the innovators. And mm-hmm. they did it pretty well. It got done a bit better, and I feel like they gotta move on rather than keep trying to hammer it home in this field. But I don't know, we'll see. I know neither of you guys were all in on Uranos, so I'm guessing there's no real stake here in like, oh no, my investment or anything.
Correct.
Yeah. I think I'm holding out for Masterminds Predaking.
Yeah, this Uranos is something that I think down the road, when it ends up in the Hercules area that Hercules is in now, like, buy all five and get 100, 150 bucks off. Like, that's when I'll start thinking about it. But yeah, I don't feel any rush at all. Especially in light of stuff like Feral Rex or Quantro or whatever he's being called, the Make Toys Computron. I think really Make Toys kind of went like, all right, you guys did it first, we're going to do it a bit cleaner. And Mastermind feels like they're stepping in to go like, and we're going to do the alternative super well. And yeah, TFC, I feel, need to think about innovating one more time and let other people do the combiner thing. Anyway, those are our new picture picks. Did I copy this in here properly? I didn't. What do you know? I'm pasting URLs into our in message board topic list, so I have them all ready to go for the first post of the actual podcast. A little bit of behind the scenes, behind the curtain talk there, ladies and gentlemen. Let's talk about TFCon for a second. TFCon is getting
this
another guest.
Jeez.
That's right. They're getting another guest. It's another G1 voice actor. Jack Angel is coming to his first ever Canadian convention appearance. He's the voice of Astro Train, Breakdown, Cyclonus, Omega Supreme, Ramjet, Smokescreen, and the cartoon TV version of Ultra Magnus. He was also Wetsuit in G.I. Joe, and I really want the world's biggest wetsuit fan to come to this convention and just flip out during the Q&A. and he was Flash, Hawkman, and Samurai in Super Friends. I forgot Samurai was a thing.
Totally not racist in the 80s.
That's right. Samurai and Golden Pharaoh. The weird thing for me is Jack Angel was going to be at BotCon 2011, And his non-appearance led to me filling in for, like, four voices in the script reading that apparently someday we're going to hear.
Someday.
Yeah, someday.
Same way that eventually TFW is going to get the last interview back.
Yep, as soon as we fix that interview with Morgan Lofting and... No.
I was talking... I guess their secret code had... It has been waiting for, like, 6 months on a text interview.
Oh, yeah.
It's coming soon.
Oh, okay, right.
Please before days. Christmas.
Yeah, so I don't know if I want to tell him or not. Because that's going to be a really weird thing to talk to him about.
Hi, you getting sick was the best thing that ever happened.
Man, you know when you got deathly ill and couldn't make it to that convention? Oh, it was so good, because I got to do all your stuff instead of you. Anyway, I'm here to cut your head off and take your power, because, I mean, I'm practically one step closer, and,
You're cool with that, right?
Yeah, you're fine, right? Yeah. I don't know. I'm really happy he's coming by, because I've always wondered, this is one of those actors where I'm like, I want to know what this dude is like. Yeah. He also played, I didn't notice, he played King Zarkon in Voltron. It's a voice I do remember. And the Liquidator in Darkwing Duck? Sorry, when I was a kid, the Liquidator was like my favorite part of Darkwing Duck.
Okay, now I'm jealous.
The Liquidator was literally what made Darkwing Duck for me as a kid. Like, I got so excited when that guy showed up. I don't know why. Liquidator was like my favorite character in that show. Anyway, he's going to be at TFCon. There'll be Q&A and stuff. Aaron, what are you going to ask Mr. Jack Angel when you line up for the Q&A?
I generally avoid those Q&As anymore.
Oh, no, you're going to go to the Q&A and you're going to line up and you're going to cosplay as Jack Angel.
I don't know. It'll be a TFCon. It's like, you want a beer?
Well, at the Q&A?
Yeah.
Just throw him one from the microphone?
Jack Sack will be loaded. We know this.
Oh, dear.
So it wouldn't be a beer. Would you like a scotch? What type of scotch do you want?
You're going to throw a bottle of scotch at him? Like, that's how fights start.
Well, no, I wouldn't throw it. That'd be disrespectful. I might spill a scotch.
Well, you close
just,
it
just
before
point,
you...
Just point at Jack's hack. He opens up the, like, display case thing. He picks out the one. Get him a drink.
All right, so apparently...
I'm a nice person here.
Apparently, Pre-Order 66's Jack's hack will be dragging around a giant display case full of scotch bottles at the convention.
Do you not follow him on Twitter? Because... Well, it's pretty much what it looks like it's going to be.
I thought that we were going to be saving that as a big reveal, but hey, listen, you know, Jack-Zack fans, just mob him. He's giving out free samples. And it'll be good for you and the kids. What were we talking about? Jack Angel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Guests. Anyway, I wanted to just throw in a little update there because... the whole BotCon 2011 thing was real weird, and it's been weirder as it's never been posted, despite all of the assurances I heard that it would be posted. Josh Perez actually brought that up. I had forgotten about it, and a couple weeks ago, Perez on Dimooch on Twitter was like, "Whatever happened to that script reading?" And I was like, "Ha ha ha ha." And I would love for that script reading to show up somehow. Please, thank you, someone out there. Surely, someone bootlegged it. I mean, come on. Before I would have said no, but at this point, what are we going to be messing up? Just come out of the woodwork, please. I want to know what I said. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And come back with some what we got this week. I'm in a little bit of a tizzy today, so I wanted to have a bit of a shorter recording. And
He's graduated now. He's too big for us.
Being such a self-centered person, I decided that nixing a listener question would thus make this shorter, and so everything will be fine. I'll make it up to all of you somehow. If you go on my SoundCloud, you can listen to me singing. That actually will be worse for some of you guys, but hey, you know. Don't look a gift donkey in the butt. Anyway, intermission!
My cousin, Tessie, makes such a great antipasto. She rolls this whole hummy up so tight, you can use it for a toothpick. Another trick she taught me, use Ziploc storage bags. You keep your marinated mushrooms in one bag, salami in another.
Not only does Ziploc protect the flavor of these little morsels, but your peppers won't smell like your onions.
Ziploc. We've got the lock on food protection.
Oh, gee. I hope it's enough. Ugh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on WTF at TFW to talk about things we got this week. I want to start off by talking to Aaron about what he got this week.
Not a bunch. I got myself some data discs. The Autobot data discs.
You were a real fan.
There's nothing new out. This was an old grab that I didn't even pay for. Alfie bought them for me and said happy early birthday.
Good lord. I forgot. Do you already have the Decepticon ones?
Yes, I did.
Okay, well, what is it like getting them somewhat again in this form?
At least I got my Rewind. He's,
I don't know what you're talking about.
Read IDW comics and cry a little bit.
Shut up! I don't want to think about it.
It's okay, man. We can be strong.
Yeah, don't worry. We still got Tailgate.
Yeah. But, really, the only, the big, interest out of it was Ramhorn. And I can definitely see why many people were saying he is the gem of all of them. But like all of the other data discs,
wow.
It folds up into a disc and you push a button and he pops out.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah. Let's keep going like Aaron didn't stumble on his own tongue. Thank you.
Yep, just keep going.
Yeah, the bird mold is the bird mold is the bird mold. The dudes are slightly different, but pretty much the same as the dudes. The rhino has a little stumpy tail.
Mm-hmm. I've found Ramhorn is surprisingly hard to get to disc mode. It's not like he's hard, it's just that it's easier than you might think to get things lined up wrong.
Yeah, the rough part is that he has that central core that slides backwards.
Yeah.
That you kind of have to... The instructions aren't any good because it's like you have to do all of these things kind of at once.
Mm-hmm.
Because
I saw someone talking about, oh, Ramhorn, I could transform with one hand, and I tried it a few times, and I was like, I must be the stupidest person.
Yeah, I just did it with my left hand, kind of, by just like smush, 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 smush. So...
Yeah, I figured it out eventually, but it was made to me to sound so easy that I was, like, legitimately worried about my mental state for a few seconds.
But, no, it's... I would say the Ramhorn is worth getting. Like, that two-pack is worth getting. If it wasn't for the fact that Eject was with Sundor, I'd say pass on that.
I like Sundor.
Or Eject. Rewind. Which?
You don't...
Rewind. Rewind. Sorry. I've been trying to cut back on caffeine lately, and it does things to my brain.
Oh, dear.
Like, make it not really work.
Eject is blue. Rewind.
Yes.
All right. That's all you got?
But that's all I got. Things have been slow going. And the whole... dog butt cancer thing.
Yes, indeed.
We had fun with excessive urination one night, so we got another blood visit, and cultures are still out, but we haven't had recurrence, so instead it was just the horrible after effects of the chemo, so that the vet wants to look at a different chemotherapy agent now.
I think fun with excessive urination is the best thing said on this podcast all year so far.
Nothing quite like getting woke up 3 or 4 times through the night to take a dog outside.
Yep.
Especially since that's how we first knew that something was wrong. So.
Well, I'm glad that he's still trucking along and keeping up the good fight.
He's fighting well. We went and we played Frisbee and had good times. So it's... He's doing very well. It's just getting to the realization that, hey, it's always going to be something.
Mm-hmm.
Sad tear. Let's not talk about my dying dog a whole lot, okay?
If it's any consolation, no. I've been watching Breaking Bad, and it just made me think that secretly Andy is up to the most badass stuff.
That would explain some things. He wasn't going out to urinate. He was going out to be Heisenberg or Heisenwolf or something.
Yeah, Andy's new secret identity, Heisenwolf.
puts on a fedora cap and runs over somebody.
He's making all the dog meth.
Yeah.
See, there's no Kickstarter needed. Just start the YouTube spoof. Breaking Bark.
Breaking Bark with Eisenwolf.
Barking Bad.
Barking Bad.
No, but now I need the Kickstarter to start that, so, you know.
Well, if you guys want to keep listening to this podcast, just put in $10. You'll get all 20 episodes and current events on the internet. Omega's Prime, what did you get this week that was Transformers?
I finally started finding stuff around here, and my pre-orders came in, so I've done well.
Oh, dear.
We'll start with the stuff that's rather old and got just because a friend of mine got it cheap for me. Finally got the Cyberverse Optimus and Predaking.
The Beast Hunters ones.
Right.
Okay.
No, the non-Beast Hunters Predaking.
I meant the Optimus. But, right. Hey, listen, there was a Legends Predic thing. Wait, well, it was more like Razor Claw. Never mind. Mm-hmm. Preda thing. I gotta write that down. Preda.
Prime's okay. I feel like he kind of captures that overstockiness of the cartoon model a little bit better than the Voyager.
Yeah, I had them standing next to each other recently, and there's bits on both that I like better, and it's vaguely frustrating.
the Voyager still has my heart here.
Yeah.
No, it's not a bad one. Like, I kind of wish they did a little bit more with his legs rather than this just cage in the back of vehicle mode.
Yeah. Also, now that I have, like, almost all the Cyberverse of the first two waves, I like him, but I think I like him because I got him before all the other ones. So, I got him, and it was cool, but then I got all these other guys. Like, I got the Insecticon and stuff, and I still like him, but I feel like he's a little overshadowed.
Yeah. Yeah, he's all right. Fine Primes usually tend to do that just because they come so early in the wave, they kind of suffer from the inexperience factor, I guess.
Yeah.
Whereas all the ones later on, they kind of learn and work a little bit better.
Yeah, I still like him, though. He does very much get across that, like, walking tree trunk aesthetic of the show model.
Right. Predaking, on the other hand, I want to say I actually like it better than the Voyager.
I got Predaking more recently, and aside from the shape of his dragon mode, I'm kind of there with you.
Yeah, the transformation's not as clever or anything like that, but I like the silhouette they went with. I like this these metal feather wings rather than the dragon ones.
Yeah, and did you get the dragon head to split to line up with the wings?
Line up how?
Okay, it's not in the instructions as I understand it. There's a trick, and it's really hard to describe, but you kind of split the head and neck in half and spread them out like wings as well, and then you flip them around, and they literally, like, become part of the orange wings.
Mm.
And frame them, and it looks awesome.
You see, I was wondering about that because the instructions just have you hanging the two halves of the head off his ass, which looked terrible.
Yeah, no, it's only because so many people had talked about it before, but that is not the designed way it's supposed to work. There's a really, you have to kind of just mess with it. There's a trick. You can also just pull the two halves off because they're ball jointed on, but there's a trick to open them and then flip around the remaining neck stump so that the flats of the split head neck parts form like another ridge around the top of the wings.
Now, you see, I kind of had it done another way because I had it down like toward his lower back, so it looks like a second set of wings altogether.
That, yeah, it's
and I really liked how that looked too.
It's similar to that, and that's that also looks pretty cool. There is a way to flip them so that they end up literally becoming part of the orange wings.
They need photos now.
Yeah, I know Ben's video talks about it, because I'd forgotten how it worked, but I remember that's where I'd heard it first. I think he shows how to do it in there, but I just fussed with it for a while, and then kind of just luckily got the flip after a minute or two.
Oh, but between that, the
improved color palette, a lot of the black actually getting broken up on this version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He does look better.
Yeah, he just feels like a more solid winged toy. And the Voyager feels like it's trying to do something different with the wings, and I don't really know what. Like, I still like the Voyager, but the Cyberverse one just feels like a more fun little thing.
Yeah. I kind of feel like between the two, it holds me over until the Ultimate is released.
Yeah, which is apparently out in Australia now.
Mm-hmm. Got a friend in Australia who listens to this podcast. Get on it.
Some Australian Transformers.
So, a little bit newer, same series, my Cyberverse Soundwave, Prowl and Hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Prowl, I talked about Smokescreen last time. It's the same mold. It is still one of the better Cyberverses I've had in a long time. The fact it comes with a big-ass hammer, all the better.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that out of the way. Soundwave is surprisingly neat. He's extremely simple in how he works, but it still works so well and so cleanly that I really don't care.
Yeah.
It does everything it has to do.
It's a really clean little dude.
Yeah. I'm not quite sure what they were going for with a head, doing it all in gray, because I kind of feel like the visor gets lost. And I was checking, it's painted gray, so I'm not quite sure why they made it inaccurate.
I don't know, but my only problem with him is I got a little oversold on him before I found him. And he's a really nice little Cyberverse toy, but he's not the best in the line, and I got a little bit oversold by some folks' reactions. So I ended up liking him, but it took me a day, because I spent a day going like, this isn't Cliff Jumper!
It's still the best Beast Hunter Soundwave you can get.
Yes.
So credit to that. And Hunger. I am loving the Predacons and these Legion sizes. He's just this big, beefy little dude, and I love the dragon mode he turns into.
Yeah, I think he is just a little bit more fun than Twin Strike.
Just a little, yeah.
But it's only because Twin Strike's interesting. I like it, but that leg armor flip is a bit fiddly, or his Hunger is just like, yo, flip, hey, now I'm a dragon.
Right. It's a very cool toy. I mean, I'm a fan of the old Hunger design, so I'm happy to see the update, and I'm happy it turned out so well.
Mm-hmm.
Really looking forward to the other three now.
Yeah, I'm...
That is weird, where I do find that, yeah, the Abominus is a nice little sell, but I'm looking more forward toward the individual toys.
And I think what makes that work for me is that, you know, on the package, they are just sold as five toys. It's like the Abominus thing is this neat Easter egg, and I'm kind of okay with that.
Right. That's me caught up on Cyberverses. Last night found Voyager Shockwave.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, maybe I got oversold, but I'm kind of disappointed in him.
Everyone I talked to, I was trying to tell people, don't get yourself hyped up for Shockwave, because he's a perfectly good Voyager, but...
Yeah, he's an all-right toy.
The Shockwave gravitas makes people expect more out of him than he can deliver, I think.
Mm. Well, to his benefit, he looks awesome, armor or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very cool-looking toy. Really like the gimmick.
Yeah, especially, you should try the gimmick in a dark room with, like, directed light on the cannon, because then you get this weird, like, revealed light pipe, and it's kind of neat.
Okay, let's try that. But, yeah, the hips kill the robot mode.
Yeah, I still gotta go in and see. I'm considering whether or not I want to do the fix of just nullifying the ratchet. It doesn't bug me enough to just do it, but... I'm always looking at it going like, I could cut those tabs off. And
it takes a lot for me. A toy really has to be crippled in order for me to permanently alter it. I think the last time I had to do that was the Deluxe Cybertron Red Alert. I'm really tempted to do it here, because...
He's not crippled, because it's not like
No, because he still works as intended.
And I'm not losing, like, trademark poses. It's just that I feel very limited in the poses I can still do.
Yeah, I mean, I had the same thing with, like, Energon Bulkhead.
Yeah.
I almost didn't call him that because I'm so used to the new Bulkhead. But I hate, one of my bigger pet peeves in design is those hips where you only have, it's either straight or splayed, and there's nothing else.
Yeah, there are literally four clicks on the ratchet in his hips. And it's silly. It helps with the transformation to a degree, but I don't think that the payoff is worth what's lost.
Right. I'm still warming up to the tank mode, too.
Yeah,
it's just something odd about Cybertronian always has me both interested and scared whenever I see it on the box. Because I always like the freedom that they don't have to stick to an Earth alt mode, so this could get really alien and freaky and cool. And at the same time, but they could also be really cheap about this.
I had a really good argument made on a comment on YouTube that I kind of liked, and I think it might have been a little tongue-in-cheek, but it actually kind of worked.
I'm wondering if it's the same thought I had.
It's that Shockwave's scientific mind is, all I need to do is be a cannon that rolls. So why embellish the rest of this alternate mode when I could better use that energy in other forms, like aerodynamics or powering the cannon or powering the treads? And I was sitting there going, like, that's a really good point. It's not making me say that anyone should change their mind, but that's a really good point.
It's a dull transformation, I have to admit, but it's logical, so it works. It's weird to say that a substandard transformation is in character.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing about it that kind of works. It's what worked for Movie 1 Megatron's jet mode. It's not like the best thing ever aesthetically for most fans, but thinking of what the character would do, it felt right. Like Megatron's jet mode, especially having his head just on the front of the jet mode, I'm like, to me that actually kind of works. He feels like a dude who would just be like, my body's gonna reshape to fly. It's not a jet mode, it's just another body.
Right. And
with Shockwave, I feel like, you know, he's just reforming himself to move faster and still use the gun. I'm not going to tell anyone they're wrong for not liking it, but...
I get the feeling I'm going to warm up to him. Or I'll get the Cyberverse and forget I own the Voyager.
Yeah.
One or the other.
The Cyberverse is on the way. A big bad habit if you want to spend $30.
Not that in... Not really in much of a hurry there.
Nope.
Same size class. Since I was in on the BBTS pre-order, finally got my Springer in Blitzwing.
Ah, yes.
I think I like Blitzwing a little bit more.
So, how'd yours turn out?
Crappy.
Aw.
It's got the same shoulder problem.
Yeah.
And there's no, like, little easy clip-in fix, anything. No, I need an emery board or a sanding stone of some kind in order to actually fix this thing.
Yeah, so you saw the updated fix, like the guy who ripped his down to figure out what was up.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'm going to wait till it's actually possible to find it in my area before I go through that.
I'm almost in the state of, like, I am so into the way they look, I don't feel bad maybe just buying a spare so I can start messing with one, like, guiltlessly.
Yeah, I need a lab rat here.
Yeah, for those who don't know, someone figured out why the shoulders possibly do not work across the board for a lot of folks. It's just it's a micromillimeter-sized plastic, I guess, margin of error that is visible if you know where to look. It's something like an unevenness from certain angles, and all you got to do is disassemble Blitzwing's torso and use an emery board to make sure that all the surfaces are level. And then...
What you're basically doing is sanding down the whole thing so that those clips that go into the tabs in the front of his chest are just a little bit closer.
Yeah, you're adding
that
a tightness.
So there's no wiggle room where that can come untabbed. It has to be there because there's no more room.
Exactly. And a similar fix that's a lot easier, I guess, for people with that stuff at hand. Some folks just took a really thin piece of plastic from, like, the frame of a Gundam model, just glued it on top of the lump that the nubs are supposed to friction against, and that added the extra surface area for it to clip together. I would rather do the emery board thing, but... Oh, does yours... what about the head on yours? Does it lock?
No.
Because a guy on the Repro Labels Facebook group figured out how that is supposed to work.
Really?
There are two little, teeny little, like, fins inside the head assembly, and mm-hmm. there's a tiny little slot down the channel it goes down. And it's not, like, jagged edges clipping together. It's a whole bunch of rounded edges trying to hold themselves together with very, very tiny dimensions. So that's what happened in there.
Yeah, Blitzwing is a problem child, I will admit. Yes, the nose cone's annoying and his shoulders don't plug in. What holds him just a little above Springer is how visually different the two modes are. Which, it's still really cool to see one and then the other and go, that's the same toy.
Hmm.
Which appeals to me more than Springer's little magic of this car becomes a helicopter. Oh, I can still kind of see the car in the helicopter, though. And for me, I remember Aaron saying his Springer tabbed in everywhere that Blitzwing didn't. I had the opposite.
Really?
I've read people having that story happen to them of a yeah. Springer that just will not go together.
Yeah, because all the tolerances on the tabs for Springer are just a little bit off.
It's that, you know, that's why I think it's across the board on both. It's just there's so much at work that the margin of error is causing a much larger margin of error in the final assembly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the flaw with the triple changers, is there's just so much more complex that there's a lot less room for error. So I can kind of get why they don't do them very often.
Mm-hmm.
But no, my Springer doesn't peg in either vehicle mode as well as Blitzwing does. Which is a shame, because on a technical level, Springer is better.
It's an
incredibly cool-looking toy.
If it's any consolation, that probably just means you got really lucky with Blitzwing. And that's a great silver lining. Because it sounds like it's more likely you're going to get a tighter Springer if you ever find a second one and can Frankenstein them together.
Yeah.
As opposed to a Blitzwing, who seems to be much harder to find good tolerances on.
I hope I lucked out.
I'm all worried because I'm gonna have those guys in hand by Friday.
Good luck.
Yeah. Oh dear.
But they're perfectly good. I'm hoping Sandstorm has a few of those corrections made. And whatever they turn Blitzwing into.
Yeah.
Because being a triple changer, I have no doubt they will try to reuse it. And actually, bored one day, I've managed to Photoshop a pretty convincing looking Overlord out of him.
I've been more and more won over by the idea of flywheels.
No. No.
Why not?
Because it's flywheels.
Oh, the Duocons need to have their day. Even if they sneak in through a triple changer.
So does Overlord. I mean, have you seen him in the comics?
Yeah.
We've got IDW Deluxes coming out. We need something.
I want, because of the comics, I kind of want a slimmer Overlord than what Blitzwing would give us.
So picky.
I know. And also his head would have to be perfect. Like, you got to get the Overlord head right if you're going to go IDW.
Oh, just... call up BotCon. I'm sure they have one lying around.
Yeah. I sure like my Skeletron. Headmaster kit.
And last on the list, since I was getting the new one, I thought, let's get the old one. I now own a G1 Blitzwing.
Oh, welcome to the club. That was one of my first triple changers when I was a kid. I like that toy.
Right. Got a scamper too.
All right. Welcome to the club.
Well, my goal is, like, I got a Metroplex a while back, but it didn't have any of its parts, so I've been very slowly piecing it back together. And my goal is to have it complete by the time the new one comes out. And after Scampers, because the Scamper, my buddy Brian found this, actually, and the Scamper's got his arms, nothing's broken, he's got his little gun, he's perfect.
Excellent.
So, yeah, I'm like a kneecap and a double barrel gun short, and I have no hope of getting the missiles, so I'll be happy with that.
I will just never forget how I got my Metroplex a couple years ago. It was not Elvin Pena, but one of his brothers sold me a complete Metroplex, barring Scamper's gun, for basically $50. And then someone sold me Scamper's gun for $5.
Nice. I had Scamper's gun, and it disappeared in a move from apartment to house.
Aww.
Everyone's
got a story like that.
It doesn't help that it's something like the old joke of the talked about a couple episodes ago of the world's smallest Ravage that can up and disappear at a stiff breeze.
Yeah. You know the bad thing about that world's smallest Ravage? I've still got mine, but he's missing the smallest piece on him.
Hmm.
I have no idea, because he was either in Soundwave's chest or he was on the one shelf, and he never moved. I never dropped him. Nothing ever happened to him. The leg just vanished.
So you know Heroes Toy Maker, who's doing all the, this is his world's smallest bootlegs in different colors and stuff?
I'm thinking of getting a prosthetic leg, yes.
Yeah, because he just revealed a picture of his Cobalt Sentry world's smallest toys version. It's just the tiny Ravage cast in blue plastic. I was like, this is the best dumb but awesome idea for a third-party anything. Because it's like four pieces, and it's the size of a microchip.
I don't know. Scamper kind of holds a special place for me, because I think I mentioned on the podcast before where, as a kid, I had the same babysitter, and babysitter had an adopted son who was a big Transformer collector who always had all the city bots, but would never let me play with them. He'd take them out, show me what they did, and then immediately put them back in the box, shove them back under the bed. And the only thing I ever got to play with were the little minions. So Scamper was the only thing I got to play with a Metroplex back in the day.
Hmm. So I guess you're pumped for new neoclassic Scamper as well.
The red head's throwing me off.
Yeah, that's apparently from something. That's from some model sheets or something like that. Mm. I don't know my Scamper history very well.
No, the Blitzwing is the big score, though. I've always been meaning to get one. I'm thrilled to finally have it. It's hard to say about a G1, but in a weird way, it still holds up because its transformation is really clean for both modes.
Yeah, I love that transformation. It's even the kind of hinky bits here and there with the turret. I think they're still cool for the time.
Well, they were nice enough to let you remove the turret back in the day, so you can clean it up a little. It makes me wonder why they had to be so complicated now.
I'm going to just point at the robot mode and say articulation.
They could fix that.
But that with full poseability, I think, is where you start hitting some of the walls. Because part of what makes the old ones, I think, the only place where they show their age is that the robot mode didn't have to also be able to pose. So that's where some of the liberties, I think, were taken. And I say that not as an insult, just as that's the time it was made.
Hi, Broadside.
Yeah. Like, Broadside's robot mode is a stick. So that's I think where some of that stuff worked itself out.
Right. No, I like him for what he is. I'm thrilled to actually finally have one in my collection.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember if he ever got reissued. He got a bookcase, right?
Yeah, he got reissued.
Okay.
They did an e-hobby for his Diaclone colors.
Right, that's where Overcharge came from. Techno had a fun idea for an Overcharge out of the new one. Give them Quintesson faces.
Hmm. That would be weird, but I'd probably buy it.
Yeah, hey, army build. Give me a reason to army build a triple changer.
Just imagine this Quintesson putting on a Blitzwing suit.
Yeah.
Well, on that strange visual image, that's it for my Transformers.
All right, I got a couple little things. At my local comic shop, Silver Snail, they had all of the new Creon microchangers, the second wave, which features, hang on a second.
Aaron's like, that's Lego-like.
So yeah.
Bulkhead, hard shell, i.e. bombshell, blot or blight, G1RC, acid. He wasn't called acid.
Acid wing?
Yeah, like acid wing. The Car Viacon, Scourge, Power Glide, Perceptor, Lugnut, Hoist, and Groove. So, I'm going to say right now, overall, the second wave, I think, is on as a whole entity of 12 microchangers, way more effective than the first one. The reason why is because Creo is learning. So, for all the car ones, for instance, like the Viacon and RC and Bulkhead, they use tricks that are found in, I want to say it was Windcharger and Trailbreaker, from the small boxes that come with, like, Corrada and stuff. So, their car modes take things one step farther by having you just remove the robot mode head and replace it with a little block of three parts that looks like an actual car front. Another thing is that none of these guys have vests. A lot of them come with a 1-4 peg cape piece, but there are no vests. Also, there are a lot of custom tampograph faces. So Scourge has his facial hair. Bombshell has the grill plate over his mouth. Although, most inexplicably, Bulkhead just has a dude face, which kind of wrecks Bulkhead's robot mode. A lot of the modes are really well done, too. And here's the thing. So Groove turns into a motorcycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a minifigure literally standing on one leg with the other pointed backwards. But due to the placement of parts, it actually really works as a motorcycle. Like, just in shape. Like, I was astounded how well Groove worked. I almost want to say he's my favorite of the whole bunch. RC is really well done as well. Perceptor, his instructions are hilarious, because you know how they all have, like, two sets of build instructions? Perceptor gives you the build instructions for the robot, and then for the alt mode, it's just the robot with showing you that you pull his head off and stick two one stud pieces on his feet and sit him down. And now he's a microscope. They're just well done. Scourge, I think his build is a whole lot like Blastoff from the Bruticus dudes. Bulkhead's vehicle mode is fantastic. It looks like a missile launcher armored school bus. Lugnut and Power Glide are both great. Lugnut is actually another top of the wave figure. He's really well done, and he comes with a weapon. Highly recommend him. Highly recommend them. If you were going to skip anyone in here, Acid Wing, you probably already have someone like him. He's very much like Sunstorm. I don't know. Bombshell, maybe. Bombshell is cool because his insect mode just leaves the legs out entirely, which makes the insect mode look a lot better. They all have a lot of good stuff in them. And if Repro Labels can do up new faces for the few guys who didn't have custom faces, like Bulkhead specifically... really, really strong second wave. Makes me excited to see what else they do. I know that the second wave and the third wave are kind of concurrent with each other, so I'm not expecting any huge advances, but I'm really pumped to see what they do, number one, in the next microchanger combiners, and number two, in whatever they do in future here. But also, this is kind of a dumb joke, but it's worth mentioning, I guess. They all have, like, the numbers you can read on the back to see what you're getting, and RC's number is 69. Someone would have brought it up if we didn't, so there you go. There's also a lot more to Blot's beast mode build than I thought, and it's really weird. So you know that cape piece? You stack two of them for his beast mode, and it's really odd. Anyway, I like them a lot. I think they are an overall improvement on what came before, which is the best thing you can say about something like this. So if you have the taste of the Creon, these are worth tracking down more so than what came before them. Even if you're just gonna get, if you're gonna get one, get RC, I guess. If you're gonna get two, get RC and Lugnut. But I would say then also get Groove, and you've got three really good ones there. Power Glide, I think, also had a custom face. So just there's a lot more identity in these guys. And Power Glide's robot build uses his vehicle wing pieces in a really smart way, because he and Lugnut basically have like very similar builds, but they do a little things differently that make them look different from each other in robot mode in a really cool way. And Power Glide gets across the standing wing look that his old G1 toy had. Track these down. Also, little quality update. I twisted the waists on all these Creons and they did not readily start like negative vacuuming themselves apart. Like, you know what I mean, right? Like, it's really evident on the combiners, where if you twist them at the waist, the waist peg starts unseating itself from the connection. Was not happening as easily on these Wave 2 guys. I wonder if that means that Abominus and Defensor are going to be, like, top of the line. Piranacon as well. I don't know. Anyway, Aaron, you had some minor interest. Do you have any other questions about these dudes that I can't think of?
Not really. Brick perspective. I've seen the lists, and I'm just waiting for them to show up.
Yeah, I think I paid a little bit up, because these are, what, usually $2 a bag?
Mm-hmm.
And so these ones were, like, another buck. But I was like, they're all here right now. I'm okay paying an extra, like, 10, 12 bucks. Whatever.
Yeah.
I want them all. Because they also had them all right there. The other thing I got, this came from a podcast listener, and actually I popped in on his podcast a couple weeks ago, Land Base Red. He got the new Fans Project Crossfire reissue that's done up in G1 colors, and he just wasn't feeling the new figure that comes with it, the little tiny shockwave called Quake. So he asked me if I wanted it, and I said, sure, what do you want? So he sold it to me for like $5 in shipping. That was pretty sweet. So this is a little dude that you get if you get the new Crossfire thing. He's packaged literally in a foil bag. I want to say that this thing is actually missing the replacement fist for the gun hand, but all the in-hand reports I read are that the replacement fist was the fist that he already has, so he would then have two left hands. So I don't really mind if that's missing. Also, it's Shockwave. He's supposed to have a gun for a hand. Yeah. So I'll talk about his gun mode first. His gun mode is totally not Shockwave's gun mode. And clearly that was what they were trying to do with this guy, was to have a Shockwave-looking dude who transformed as unlike Shockwave as possible. His feet become the barrel of the gun. His actual gun hand becomes the sight that you look into. There's like a diagonal magazine jutting off the front. The gun mode is really weird. I kind of like it, except for one major thing, which is that Quake's little head is just sitting there at the back. You can turn it so he's looking down and he's not as like obviously there, but I do not see any reason why his chest plate could not fold down so that his head could flip in there. And that would have made this thing a lot better. As it is, it's just his head's chilling out there. The transformation is really cool. There's some interesting tricks going on with it. And the robot mode is kind of like, it's kind of like a somewhere between a Legends and a Scout style, but the size is really tiny. It's about the size of, maybe it's a half head taller than an actual Target Master. He's pretty poseable, a lot of ball joints, the hinges on the knees and stuff. He's got thigh swivels and things. I entirely see why this figure would not do it for someone, because he feels a little bit rickety everywhere. His plastic quality is fine, but his construction is just, it's a lot of ball joints and a lot of pieces that are never actually really locking together. But there's something about him I really like, and I think it's in part because of his ball jointed neck. He has so much personality in how you can tilt his head around that
okay.
A lot of his stances end up looking kind of cool. If he had, this is so dumb to say, but if he had ankle tilts, his robot mode would be perfect. But it's still a good robot mode. And I feel like a complete prick for saying it, because it's an in-joke at this point, talking about ankle tilts. I'm trying to find you guys a picture of him just so I can give you a better visual look-see. Anyway, the only way to get this guy regularly is if you're buying the already $100-something Crossfire 2-pack. And, you know, that's... It's hard to give an opinion on this guy because he is packed in with a thing. I'll send you guys a picture of his little envelope, because that's... It's a render of both modes. If you think this sounds interesting and you like Shockwaves, and I do, like, now I have another third-party Shockwave, ask around, because I saw a lot of people reacting to Quake as, well, it came for free with my toys, I don't really like it all that much. If someone's willing to sell it for you for, like, $5 or $10, you know, I think that's a decent price for what it is. It's a cool little thing. I think it's neat as an extra, but I think it would have actually had more life being sold on its own. Also, I forgot to mention the gun handle is similar to the handles of the Colossus guns, where it has that big slit hole, so that the Fans Project Colossus Bruticus guy can hold him. It does mean that his gun mode is not really holdable by anyone else. The homage there being that time Bruticus used Shockwave as a gun. So. I kind of like it. The colors are really good. He's got a yellow eye, but he's got the Fall of Cybertron pink chest plate. It's a neat little figure. I kind of want to do a little video about him, but it's weird talking about him by himself. I want to say, like, big thanks to Landbase Red for selling me this dude at such a nominal fee, because I was eyeing this little guy, but I was like, I don't want to buy Crossfire all over again just to get this little Shockwave that I may not even like all that much. I'm glad to say that for, you know, I think it was a total of like $10 or $15, I feel totally okay with this little guy. I forgot, were either of you going after the re-release Crossfire set?
No.
A little too expensive for me.
Yeah. If you guys, well, I guess Omega's primarily, if you do end up going for it, Quake is a neat little extra. And this is also another Shockwave. If I had one problem with him, I guess it's that his head is solid purple, aside from the optic, which is yellow, so his ears aren't silver. And I'm curious if painting them silver would add a whole lot to him. Anyway, those are all the Transformers I got this week. Many thanks to Landbase Red again for parting ways with his Quake on the... Especially for... So he was like, yeah, contact me on Skype with your shipping info. I was like, all right. Then I got really busy. So I was like, I Twitter DM'd him, but he doesn't actually check Twitter all that often. So he was also very patient with my rather horrible communication. So I wanted to say thanks again for that. Let's talk about some off-topic stuff. I'll open up with mine. I got some good potato chips the other day. I think I already mentioned I got a new stand for my MacBook. There you go. That's all I did. Aaron, what did you do that was off topic this last little while?
Since the last show, nothing I can think of. However, I was chided for forgetting something, and that show is
chided.
Often mentioned friend of the podcast, who? Noise Maze.
What? Oh, let's try to cut in so you wouldn't say it.
You can always edit that. Managed to find almost full set of Series 10 minifigs.
Ooh.
For me. His Toys R Us managed to get them way before mine did. And so I have whatever it is, 16 new minifigs. Just continuing that on. The one I'm short is the hard to find Mr. Gold, so
that doesn't really count, does it?
Well, it's a chase figure, so do you count that as in the set or not?
No. I mean, okay. You heard the story, right, about the guy who bought $1,500 worth of minifigures?
And they wouldn't take them back?
Yeah.
I felt good. I had a great smile.
He took all those off the market, so you guys, you know, way better odds now.
Yeah.
He took $1,500 of those things off the market so that there's less to pick from to find Mr. Gold.
Yeah. The real winners for me out of this set, I like the paintballer. He has a bunch of green splats on his front and an orange splat on his back. There's a Revolutionary War soldier, that would be a great, potential for troop building. There's a skydiver that has a fun, wind flapping face. And then also, for some reason, I like the painter. Just a simple dude with a blue paint roller. But it's fun. Seems to be pretty identifiable once you get, like, most of these. Once you know the key items to feel for, it becomes pretty quick to suss everything out. But it's fun. And more minifigs are always better.
I have a question. Is Mr. Gold easy to feel out, or is he similar to a lot of other figures in there?
Mr. Gold, if you're looking for him, the thing to feel for is a top hat. That's pretty much the key for him.
So I looked up Mr. Gold Lego on eBay.
Yeah.
Newly listed. Someone wants just a cool thousand.
Yep.
Free shipping.
No, well, that's good of him, because it's a tiny friggin' package.
Someone's got the complete set with Mr. Gold sealed. $1,500, $500 for all the extra Legos, I guess.
Yeah,
that means Noise Maze gave you $500 of Legos. I hope you're.
Yeah. Well, the way that it originally rang up, each one of the individual bags was ringing up as a whole case. So, he sent the receipt along with, and each one had like manual price override, manual price override, manual price override. And I was like,
There's also a whole lot of bootleg Mr. Golds on eBay.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing, is it's easy enough to gold chrome something and then print, because there are groups out there that print custom minifigs. And so, yes, if you really needed to have that, you could have it. The thing would be the individual numbered insert that comes with each Mr. Gold to identify it as one of the official ones.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're buying a Mr. Gold, look for that, not necessarily the gold parts.
Someone opened one up, so he's only going to cost $700.
Yep.
So if you got Mr. Gold, would you hang on to it?
No.
Yeah.
It would be sold in a heartbeat to take care of dog ass cancer.
Yeah, there's one here with open bidding. It's up to $557, 24 bids, 2.5 days left. I don't think anyone in my Twitter circle would be the person who sits on Mr. Gold. That's a weird.
It would be
thing
something that would be neat. I'd take some pictures of me with it, with like a newspaper to verify that it existed for real, with the local newspaper in hand, and then it would be straight to eBay.
I think this is a weird thing to do.
Yeah, it's actually not terribly Lego.
No.
I mean, Lego has had some crazy exclusive things, but normally that's event based. Or, you know, something like that. Well, like, for example, I don't know if he's now ongoing podcaster or not, but D-Fuzz, if you were at his store on their grand opening weekend and bought, I think, $50 or $75 worth of Lego, you got a special set that you could only get at a store's grand opening.
Because the thing that I find weird about this, because I've been, you know, catching bits and pieces of the Mr. Gold story on my Twitter, it's not like the minifigures needed a reason for people to be chasing them.
Right.
Did they? Because, I mean, every impression I've gotten is they sell like hotcakes everywhere.
They sell very well everywhere. So the rough thing just becomes if it's the sell-through thing or not. So it becomes a thing. I'll admit, when I see new every place, I do check them out, but I'm not going crazy trying to hit it because, you know, the odds of me finding one are pretty hard in the first place. And quite frankly, I'm, like I said, it'd be neat, but eh.
Yeah, it's weird. It seems on Lego, I guess, confirms, because I've thought, like, this isn't what Lego does, right? Like, they're not a collectible thing. Yeah. The minifigures,
well, I mean, like I said, they have grand opening exclusive sets, and things on that line, which kind of stink, but at the same time it's like, well, it's special event type thing, but
whereas Mr. Gold seems like just an unsolicited, this is going to be hard to get.
Yeah
It's odd. I was gonna say this tangentially makes me think of that awful Mattel decision to do a 3A style secret drop a couple weeks ago, or last week.
Oh, fun.
I don't know. Well, best of luck finding Mr. Gold, sir.
Yeah, like I said, it would just instantly become funds. I would try and make that liquid as quickly as possible. But yeah, here we go. Toronto. For the two Toronto locations, there were exclusive minifigure packs that are just three people with a special background.
Hmm.
That go, I'm on... no, this is Brick Set, not Bricklink, sorry. Was trying to see how much it cost, but can't find it anywhere.
So what about the kid who opens one of these up, just busts out Mr. Gold and takes him to the playground?
Oh, yeah. See, that's also something I kind of hope for.
Mm-hmm.
Is children to enjoy toys, because that's what it's supposed to be like.
And then, like, a few years down the road, that kid just flips his Mr. Gold for, like, $800.
All chewed up and missing a hand.
Do you think he's going to still go for high a couple years down, especially if there's a busted up one?
You know, I don't know. I could see it still going for a decent price because, well, all busted up, probably not, actually, because it wouldn't have something to guarantee that it's legit.
Yeah.
So, no. It'll be everything now, and then whoever has the individual numbered piece to go with it, but beyond that, no.
I wonder what'll happen when we have the person who just has the piece of paper with the number.
That'd be the thing. Go and buy yourself the knockoff one, and you can just be like, hey, look, I've got the unique number. What's your point?
Yeah. All right, well, aside from a dose of minifig, did you get anything else?
No.
Oh.
It's a bummer, but we're in fun-saving mode.
Mm. You're just you're hoping for the golden ticket, as it were.
Yeah. Hey, I had the one place that offered me $2,000 below what I said I absolutely had to have in order to eat food finally quit talking to me, so.
Oh, good.
It's fun getting berated and being told, like, no, but that includes a company vehicle. I'm like, well, I didn't really drive with my own truck, so having a company vehicle wouldn't help me. Well, you could sell your truck, so then I'm dependent on your vehicle.
I had no idea that your vehicle could feed me.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, best of luck, as always. Omega's Prime, did you do anything off-topic this week?
A little bit.
Hey yo.
Yeah, I've been spending. First, the usual Wizarding update, picked up Fall, Super One, and X. What's notable about this is, aside, I can't figure out why Fall is blue all of a sudden. I was trying a different eBay seller out of Japan for these, and a lot of eBay sellers out of Japan for this kind of stuff, they like throwing in little extras, and usually it's just this little gashapon or like a mini poster or whatever movie's new. This seller threw in a handwritten note, which in very good English.
Wow.
And thank you for buying and signed name. This is like a full note, like you type in an email. Which was very cool. And with that was this little crunchy, like, teriyaki, like, 7-Eleven style snack stick thing.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, which I haven't had yet, because I don't think I've had anything teriyaki flavored, much less the gas station cheapo lot version.
Probably be better off eating it sooner than later, though, if it came from a gas station, just saying.
Yeah, okay.
In about 12 minutes, that's going to expire and start burning.
It's
going to
be a whole lot like soy sauce, but a little sweet, most probably.
Okay. I figure since the internet loves it so much, I think I'll just, you know, crack it open next time I'm recording a vlog or something.
Record a vlog very soon.
Will do. And with that also came an origami swan. Or crane, like, I guess, in this case.
Like, actually folded.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Like, legitimate Japanese origami. It's authentic.
I used to be able to fold tiny, tiny cranes out of, like, ripped-up napkins. A couple years ago. I gotta remember how to do that. It's a great trick.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun just to open up. I think at this point the rings are just like, oh yeah, I know what they sound like. Yeah, just, I'm all in at this point. I just kind of have to collect them at this point.
That's why I held my hands in the air until they said more Gaia memories. So I'm just waiting for those.
My budget's already screaming at me.
I thought you just said your butt's already screaming at you, and I was really confused.
Sitting here a while
and then
now.
I realized that I probably just had a Skype skip.
Yeah, my noisy ass. This one will amuse you.
Mm-hmm. Is it a butt?
No, it's not a butt.
Okay.
No, but it's something you got me on.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who remembers a little discussion on the Weaponeers of Mon Ka, it's little indie toy line of little break-apart, put-together robot toys. It's very 80s and very cool to just goof with.
Mm-hmm.
Everything in their store kind of went low stock at the same time.
You mean how their store has no Weaponeers of Mon Ka left?
Yeah.
And I mean, exactly. That's fantastic, because those were in there for a while, and I was getting worried.
Yeah, because here's the weird thing. They went for months, and you could get them. Like, how long has it been since I got the first two?
Now I can't remember when they debuted. I can look it up. It was, I want to say last fall.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah.
So, you know, especially for one of these little indie, you know, toy lines. But they just did, and I'll paste this for Aaron's sake. They just released this, their DX release, which is Bloodlust Umbreus. It's black and red, just demonic-looking thing, and it's an awesome set. Oh. And apparently drew everyone to go buy these things.
I'm going to say that was in part thanks to, and this is what drew me into Mon Ka, they did a one-week, one-chapter-a-day storyline lead-up to Bloodlust Umbreus.
Oh, that was cool, too.
And that's what made me drawn to Mon Ka at the first place, because they did the same thing with the first figures. They have been writing a legitimate fiction for these figures. Like there's a world, there are stories, there are characters, things change. It's cool.
Yeah. It's a lot more than you'd expect out of some little line like this.
Mm.
So... yeah, I don't know if it was the story or just, you know, how cool the new figure was, but you know, a few things went low stock, and I went, okay, I've been putting this off long enough, let's just get whatever I'm missing. And then a few days later, it was all gone.
So I gotta ask you a question. Of the things you ordered, was one of them Imperius?
I already had him.
Okay, because here's a story for you. For 3 days before Bloodlust Umbreus dropped, there was a single Imperius left in the store. And there were about 5 crystal golems left in the store. And everything else, there was at least 25 to 30 of. So I was sitting there going, like, clearly everyone saw the Crystar, the Crystal Warrior build, and bought all the Imperiuses and crystal golems. So I was sitting there, I was like, I wouldn't mind getting a second Imperius, but he was gone as soon as Bloodlust Umbreus went up.
Yeah, I've got to make that one. I've been building him into Transformers, strangely enough.
Yeah, so I saw some of the pics. Well, what did you manage to get a hold of before it all went away?
You ready for this? Because this sounds like one of your purchases.
Oh, I'm all set.
I got myself a Bloodlust Umbreus,
mm-hmm.
Regular Umbreus, Rutok, Magma Golem, Crystal Golem, 2 Flaws, the Obsidian Golem,
mm-hmm.
The Armory Cold Steel set, the Close Combat Venom, Magma, Crystal, Empyrean, and Umbreon DX, and the extra head pack.
Okay, don't feel bad, because all you did was catch up to what I've done, basically. Back in the day, Spy Monkey got into my sights because they put out the weapon pack. That was the first Glios thing they put out, and I bought like 10 of them. Because I wanted the parts. And, when I bought the first Mon Ka things, I basically just bought one of everything. So, don't feel bad. Do you want to know what my order was from the Bloodlust things?
What?
3 Bloodlust Umbreus and 2 Flaws. One of the flaws was actually a crystal golem, but they sold out, and I paid with a delayed payment. So they just said, like, hey, we actually ran out. Would you like a flaw instead? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I was already wanting to order a second one anyway.
Yeah, the obsidian parts are nice to have extras of.
Yeah, and it's a very cool plastic. Apparently, it's like the Hades Force plastic. Hades Force was a Glios drop late last year. I want to say it has a very matte finish if it's the same black plastic. Does it kind of have like a very like, not dull, but like not a, is it shiny black or is it kind of like a matte black?
It kind of shines in the light, but it like just tries to.
Yeah.
So it's not completely matte. It's not completely shiny. It's somewhere in the middle.
That sounds like the Hades Force black. Cause I got my Hades Force Hades right here and I loved this black plastic. And also the turquoise teal on Flaw is literally the Hades Force color scheme. Like if he had a glow in the dark part, he would be Hades Force. This is some Glios name dropping I'm doing here, but go look it up. Anyway, I'm glad that you got into these dudes heavier because I think they are one of the best, if not the best, debut toy line of last year. Just for what you get in each package.
Yeah. It is really fun just goofing with them, and just to even get one, there's so many little variations you can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine are all waiting for me in the States right now. I had a question, because the chrome parts are apparently ABS plastic rather than PVC. I was wondering if it all still works fine, or if, like, does it feel weird at all, or is it just...
I haven't goofed with them that much just yet.
Okay.
They feel okay so far. I mean, you can tell they're different somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, like, there really isn't anything that strange about how they function. You know, it still works the same way.
Okay.
I think it helps that all the chrome pieces are just add-on stuff that, you know, doesn't have to hold in there too tight. It's not supporting any weight or anything.
Yeah, and it's not like ABS to ABS, because that would break this whole system. Mm-hmm. It's still going in PVC. Oh, that's cool. Like, yeah, I mean, I saw you were... I liked the Rodimus.
That's actually kind of convincing, yeah. I can make a good Megatron out of them now, too.
Someone did a really cool Perceptor build. They did it in green, because that's the one that the color they had the most of. But go digging through the forums on October Toys. I forgot who did it. I want to say it was... Oh, no, I can't remember who did it anymore. But someone did a really cool Perceptor build where they got, like, the whole, like, the, you know, using the Munkaw limb parts, they got the big cylinder tube just on his shoulder. It looked really cool.
Yeah, these are going to be my official desk fiddle toys for a while now.
Yeah, oh, no, they are great. Spy Monkey are... I can talk about these things for a while, so I'll resist it. But they are... if you want to look into these, they still have... I think they have, like... 60 or 70 some Flaw the Obsidian Golems left.
I want to say it's, Jesus, it was north of 40 when I bought my two.
Yeah, and also if you want to wait, Spy Monkey's plan for this chunk of 2013 is rather than doing big drops, they want to do drops like the Bloodlust drop, where it's just one DX figure, one normal figure, and then, you know, one DX accessory pack and one normal accessory pack, and that's it. And they want to do that monthly for a little while. I believe that they revealed the next set are going to be glow in the dark. Ooh. So, which I believe is going to, I'm going to bet a nickel it's Life Force Imperius. So keep your eyes out for that if you want to wait. Really fun toys. And I think it's like a DX one is $15, but a regular one is like $12, and it's, you get $12 a toy.
Oh, yeah.
And on the $15 ones, I am amazed that they only went up $3 given the number of paint apps they've added to the DX versions.
Yeah, because the extra heads cost you $3 already.
Yeah.
So on top of all that, you also get all the chrome parts, you get the extra paint job. They are worth their stuff, and nigh unbreakable so far.
And you get a friggin' trading card to top it all off.
You get all the trading cards.
Oh, they're still giving out all of them?
Well, I don't think they are now, considering none of them are available anymore.
I heard someone ordered three Flaws separately and then just got a set of the trading cards. So they might still have some.
Well, I don't know. My Bloodlust, the two from Bloodlust came with their cards, but
Yeah. Great toys. Ah.
Yeah. Going on too long. Moving on.
Rounding out my Nintendo. I find it. Nobody's Netflix and people are watching.
Actually, I'm Aaron. You're Skyping out on my end a bit too. Okay, so let's just pick up from wherever we were, right after Monka, whatever it was that we were talking about.
There's a problem with his call. Hold on while we try and get him back.
Oh no! Hello.
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 Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
You all sound good too. Hi, Aaron. Oh, now Aaron's the one getting punted out.
What the hell is
going on? What's
going
on?
So instead of booting you every few seconds, it'll be booting me every few seconds as it boots me again.
God damn! What is this?
I don't know! Hello?
I bet
Hello?
TJ and I work and... Whoa, holy shit.
Hi.
This might be the way to do it.
Okay. Let's roll with it.
Go.
Okay.
Finally got my Figma Pit. But I got my Nintendo collection going now. My Smash Brothers shelf is lining up nicely.
Oh, I keep forgetting he's out.
He actually got all the accessories that Link should have had. Like, everything he's associated with.
Is he the one with the eyeball thing?
Yes.
Okay.
An articulated eyeball, which is awesome.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Oh, it's cool. He gets nice wings, too. I always like wings on an action figure that are articulated.
Is Pit going all crazy on the aftermarket like Link and Samus, or have people gotten over that?
I haven't really checked. I don't imagine he would.
Yeah.
And Samus's aftermarket dropped hard when they announced that they were redoing that.
Yep.
That's why I figured Pits would just have, like, anticipatorily not gone crazy.
Right. It's still really solid figures. I'm not that attached to Pit, but it's still a really cool toy.
I almost got him, but I was like, if I need to cut out any spending, it's going to be characters I'm not overly attached to. That's why I skipped Link as well, because I'm not attached to Link. True story.
How can you say such evil things?
He doesn't know you anymore.
He wasn't in my childhood. That's all I'm going to say.
Damn kids in your Genesis.
Then look at where Sonic the Hedgehog is. Oh.
Yeah, look. Moving on, I'll do the last two together since they kind of go together. Two Reveltex. One where the box says Leo Laris, and one says Hunter, but you'd know them. Some people know them as the Rathalos and the Rathalos Armored Hunter from Monster Hunter.
Oh, okay. Because I was like, I don't know anything you just said.
Yeah, welcome to me and Aaron when you talk Glios.
That's right.
Okay. Rathalos is like a big red wyvern, right?
Yeah.
So he's a dragon. Very well articulated dragon. He's got these extremely soft plastic wings, so the joints in them actually work and they flex real nicely.
Oh, cool.
Nicely articulated. It's a really beautiful sculpt on it. And the neat thing is the little accessories it comes with. You come with a little, like almost like the old Dungeons and Dragons tabletop sets used to have, the little figurines.
Yeah.
So it's got a little scale figurine of the hunter from the game to go with it.
Oh, that's cool.
And since the method in the game is to beat monsters and break and sever certain parts in order to get certain items from them, they also give you this cut stub that you can replace his tail with.
Lovely.
Yeah, it's a nice visceral little piece of plastic. It's surprisingly cool for something that doesn't look articulated, but it is, and it's awesome. There's like two others, and I'm really tempted to go get the other two.
That Reveltech Monster Hunter stuff kind of came out of nowhere in my own spectator vantage point.
Yeah. They do a nice little system where they come out with a monster, and then about a month later, they come out with the hunter in the armor you make out of that monster.
That's cool.
And then they'll come out with all the rare species versions of the other monsters. So it's basically just repaint fodder, but they look cool.
That's what the motion revives were like.
Right. No, the Hunter itself, it's a little wonky. I have this love-hate relationship with the revolver joints, because it seems it seems like they work really well for holding a pose, but getting them in the direction you want can get really annoying sometimes.
I will always maintain the Reveltech joint has not aged very gracefully.
No. No, it's kind of a shame, really. But beyond that, he's got these huge weapons, which look awesome. And the paintwork on this toy is gorgeous. I mean, aside from the sculpt, but you know, the metal parts of his armor have this like dull metal finish to them.
Mm-hmm.
Like around the rivets, you can see this little discoloration, like a rust or patina.
Hmm.
So it looks like this really well-worn armor. And all the scale parts of the armor still look nice and organic. It's even if you don't know the games, it's so easy to appreciate how much effort went into the sculpt and paint on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt that way looking at your Twitter pictures, because I was like, what is that? And I looked it up, and it's kind of like the Shiva gods or whatever that Reveltech was doing, where it's just, they look super cool. I don't know what they are, but
right,
they look great.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of works out, because that's usually the first armor everyone makes because it looks really damn cool.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's just like, well, they only come out with these very rarely. So I think they're ramping it up now. So it's just a wait and see if they actually release the monsters that you like from the games.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's... Well, you've got your little Transformers little card game thing. You know, this is my game obsession, and it's gone to the plastic world now. yeah, that's my haul in a nutshell.
All right. Well, We probably should, with our what we got's done, we should probably abandon ship as fast as possible before Skype claims our computers physically. Because Skype is going crazy right now.
Somehow mine works, and I'm the one with busted internet right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. And as we're talking, Omegas' signal is starting to degrade. I can understand what he's saying, but only just... Like, I feel like this is what it must sound like when we tell dogs commands that they recognize.
Daisy. Daisy.
So, thank you all for listening, ladies and gentlemen. That has been episode 252 of WTF at TFW. We're probably going to have a prime time sometime, because Prime's starting up again tomorrow. I'm not going to see it probably till Monday night, but we'll see what happens. We're going to prime time it one way or another. You all know that by now. And if you do want to leave us a voicemail for whenever we do stuff with the voicemails, which we will. God damn it, we will. The voicemail number is 318-775-9830. That's 318-775-9830. 318-775-9830. This has been Vangelis, Aaron, and Omegas with WTF at TFW2005.com. And... here comes another Skype tidal wave. I'm jumping into the lifeboat.